Welcome to Whose Or Is This with Anthony Waite, a show designed to help leaders and high achievers increase their influence and impact by becoming intentional with how they show up in the world. If the wind does not favor, take to the oars. Here is your host, Anthony Waite.
What is going on, guys? Anthony Waite here, and welcome to the show. If this is your first time listening, I appreciate you jumping on and watching the podcast. If you're not used to the format, so a couple of things with the show, right? Some episodes might be a mindset in minutes where I share some nuggets, some leadership tips, tactics to help you shift your mindset so you can get ready for the day, maybe for the week or for a big meeting, or to get ready to lead other people. Other formats might be interviews where I bring on guests and we share a conversation based around a topic, usually around leadership, relationships, fitness, mindset, resilience. And so those are the two. And then there's one more that I'm starting to do this year in 2023, and that is Q&A. I get a lot of questions from people that I speak to, my audience, people that I lead every single day as a naval officer. And so I have a lot of questions that people ask. And if you want to ask a question, you can put it down below if you're watching on YouTube, or you can send it to Anthony@AnthonyWaiteSpeaks.com. Anthony@AnthonyWaiteSpeaks.com. And you can submit your questions and I'll answer them here on Q&A. And it'll be totally confidential. I'm not going to put your name out there, but if you have a question, I'll answer it. And anything about leadership, mindset, resilience, discipline, all right, when it comes to building a $1 million business, I'm not the guy. I'm not going to pretend to be some guru that's going to show you how to make $10,000 in 30 days or whatever the hell that might be. But I'm here to help you become a better leader, a better person, a better person of character. Okay. When you do this, I think everything else falls in line, right? And people get this kind of mixed up where they want to make more money. They want to have more things. They want to be able to do more things, but they're not willing to be the person who's able to do that. And so that's kind of the premise of the show. That's kind of how I found myself and in my life and got to where I'm at. You can chase the achievements. You can chase the accolades. You can climb the ranks of your organization. But if you fail to grow your character, credentials will only carry you so far. It's only a matter of time before your character is found out. And so welcome to the show. Let's get going today. Today, I'm going to do a Q&A. We have a couple of questions that I wanted to answer. And I think that it's timely because we have a new year. People are trying to get new goals. They're trying to achieve, you know, bigger things. And with the questions, I love getting questions because as an instructor for the military, you know, I'm a teacher. And so what I like to do in my classrooms is ask questions. I want to see where they're at. I want to see their knowledge. I want to hear their problems so that I can come up and help them come to a solution. That's leadership in a nutshell. You ask good questions, you get good answers, you become a great leader. But when you stop asking questions and you assume, then you kind of find yourself leading in the wrong direction, if at all, right? And so I have two questions today that I want to answer on the show. And the first question is, as someone who doesn't have the best relationships with my parents, how do I go about holding my ground when I succeed and will inevitably be asked for assistance? I have a soft spot for my mother, even though she has repeatedly screwed me over and abandoned me. Okay. So this is a good question. You know, I can relate to this as, you know, I grew up in a pretty rough childhood, right? My dad is a drug addict. My mom, you know, struggles with her mental health. And, you know, we were, you know, I would say quote unquote abandoned many times throughout my childhood. And, you know, we'd be left at other people's houses and, you know, my mom worked, you know, 3-4 jobs to support 4 kids by herself as a single mother. You know, it was tough for us because we never really had, our feet on solid ground, right? It was always moving and changing and shifting. You know, the rent was due, so we'd move to another apartment complex or another project. We would, you know, live in Section 8 housing and, you know, drive-bys on our apartments, like all kinds of craziness, right? And people don't know this, or many of you might not know this, but, you know, yes, I'm a naval officer. Yes, I've been in the Navy for almost 19 years, but I didn't join because, you know, things were great. I joined the Navy after, you know, sleeping on a friend's couch, from bouncing from couch to couch for over a year. You know, I basically was homeless. I left home and didn't really have a place to go, or, you know, didn't know where the hell I was going to get my next meal. And, you know, that rock bottom led me to where I'm at today. And so she says, you know, how do I hold my ground when I succeed and will inevitably be asked for assistance? You know, here's the thing that I found. Two things. You don't owe anybody anything. You owe it to yourself. You know, whenever I was struggling as a teenager, and when I joined the military, I started to, you know, make more money. I started to get more opportunities, and I started to grow and make, you know, a lot of money. I started making good money. And of course, people reached out for help. And for a long time, I would help and I would send money and I would, you know, buy this and buy that, even if it meant that I was going to have to struggle myself. You see, this was a lack of self-worth. This was a lack of knowing my value, feeling like, you know, that victim mentality, that person that owes other people something because I don't feel worthy of what I got. You know, getting commissioned as a naval officer was hard for me because I didn't feel qualified. I didn't feel good enough. I never felt like I was worthy of it. And when we grew up in a troubled home where there's abuse, there's mental, physical, emotional abuse, we have this lack of worth that, I'll be honest with you, it will stop you as you continue to move forward and try to become successful. And if you're going to become successful, you have to get over that. You have to find your worth and your value, and you have to be able to articulate that value. You know, I would be really shy and timid when I go into boards for advancements. I wouldn't, you know, tell people when they ask me, why should we pick you? I couldn't come up with the words to explain why me, because every time that I said why me, it was, why does this always happen to me? Why do I have to grow up in this household where my parents are constantly going to court to fight for custody and child support and all these things? And, you know, it was always why me? And so I'll tell you this, right? Here's the switch that you need to have. What one thing that will change your relationship with anybody, you know, anybody that's hurt you and help you kind of release the chains that they might hold on you still. The number one thing for me was forgiveness. You know, for a long time, I used to blame my parents when things went wrong in my life. I used to blame them, you know, whenever I failed or I didn't get selected for a promotion or when I was struggling, you know, and getting in trouble. You know, it was, you don't understand. My house, my home is hell. You know, and I'd see other people, you know, going on vacations with their parents. And I would say, you know, it must be nice. It must be nice to be able to go on vacations and, you know, have your parents for the holidays and get Christmas. You know, hell, there was times where we didn't have Christmas growing up. And I would blame my parents for it. You know, if only they had their stuff together. And I'll tell you that that's not conducive to anything. That just brings anger and animosity. And I remember I went on a deployment to Haiti in 2013. And when I got back, I called my father and I forgave him for the way that he is. And he didn't care. I mean, he was probably high on something. He was probably, you know, coming off of a bench because he didn't even know who I was. And the funny thing is that I'm a junior, Anthony Stephen Waite Jr. And after I got off the phone with him, you know, I cried like a baby. Like, it was that release of anger and frustration, all those years of misery that I had every time my dad's name was brought up or somebody said, you look just like your dad, or, you know, whatever. I would get so angry and frustrated. And after I forgave him, like, all that was released. A sense of calm came over my life. And here's the thing about forgiveness. It's not letting the person off the hook for what they did. It's letting go of the hope that things could have been different. And so I would say for this, you know, forgive your parents for what they've done, because to be honest, they were doing the best they could with what they had. You know, I was having a conversation with my sister, who I'm very close with. And she said, if you think about it, you know, now I'm a dad, I have two boys and I'm married to my wife. And she said, if you think about it, mom and dad had us when they were 21. Because we always talk about this, like, man, why is our parents so jacked up, right? Why can't they get their shit together? And she said, they had us when they were 21, right? And she's like, just think about that. If you had kids at 21, like, how would you be? I'm like, you know what? I couldn't imagine. Like, we had our boys at 30. And if I had them at 21, one, I wasn't financially stable. I wasn't emotionally stable. I wasn't in a right place to even be a good man because I didn't even know who the hell I was. And so when I look at it from that point, it allows me to give grace to my parents. Yeah, was the situation shitty? Absolutely. I don't think any kid should ever have to go through some of the things that we went through. However, comma, they did the best they could with what they had. And so that forgiveness, forgiving them for the things that happened, forgiving myself for carrying that baggage around for most of my life and letting it paralyze me from moving forward. And so I would say to this question, you know, forgive your parents for what they did. And, you know, if my mom was to call and ask for help today and I had the means to do it, I would do it. I would help her. Because regardless of how bad, you know, your childhood was, they probably did the best with what they knew to do. And you see, the other part of this, the exciting part is now when you have children, now when you become a parent, you get to rewrite the script. You get to change the legacy. You get to look and give your children what you never had. And that's kind of, you know, I'm grateful for my past because now I have a roadmap of what not to do. So I can look at it and say, you know what? I'm going to spend time with my kids. I'm going to be there to coach their teams. I'm going to get them into sports because we have the money to do that. I didn't have the money to do youth sports. So use this as a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. And if your parents ask for money and you have the means, or they ask for help and you have the means, then make the decision. Should I help them or should I not? But if you don't have the means, then simply, hey, you know what? I would love to help, but I can't. But never put yourself in a burden to try to be a blessing to other people. You got to be able to be a blessing for yourself, right? And understand the blessings that you have so that you can bless other people. So I hope that helps. That brings me to question number two, talking about the past. What is the way you block out the past traumas in your life to not bother you now? There is one specific incident that keeps resurfacing to make life harder. Okay. So we're talking about the past. I often have said, and I practice this in my own life, never let your past predict your future. And I say this because I let it do that, you know, predict my future for a long time. All the things from the past, all the mistakes, all the troubles, all the failures, all the things that I did wrong. And I would let it really torture me, right? And when you think about traumas in the past, everybody has a certain trauma or thing that happens in their life. Nobody, I don't think, has it just like figured out. Everything was given to them. Well, there are some people out there, and if they're out there, they're not listening to this, right? They're probably driving around their damn Rolls Royce, you know, still living with mom and dad. I don't know, whatever. But what I'm saying is that when you look at your past, the way that I've been able to do this, right? And I'm going to give you a kind of a framework that I use, but by all means, if you need to go to, you know, see a therapist, I highly recommend it. I've seen multiple therapists throughout my time. And it's been very beneficial to be able to talk with someone who's a professional that can walk you through, you know, the past traumas and help you uncover and unpack that. I think that mental health is a stigma that we have today where, you know, people don't want to go because they feel like, you know, they're dumb or they're stupid or that something's wrong with them. And to be honest with you, you know, therapists, in a world that we live in today, that's a high calling. You know, I remember doing therapy for, you know, things that happened in my life. And I'll tell you that it helps you go back and revisit the past from a different perspective. It's all about perspective. And so how do you do this, right? For me, what I did and what I do with my coaching clients, right? By all means, I always say, hey, if you need therapy, go get it. If you need, you know, doctors or somebody that's a licensed physician to help you, then by all means do it. But here's a practice that I've done. I get a piece of paper and I'll write a line all the way across it. And I'll start from zero to my age now, which I'm 37. And I'll do 5-year increments. So 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 15, 15 to 20, 20 to 25, all the way to 37. So I'll go to 40. And what I do is I'll go back and I'll think about, I'll sit down in my office or somewhere quiet And I'll think about all the things that I remember from my childhood all the way up until now. Good, bad, sad, glad, happy, or mad. Write it down. What this does now is it allows you to unpack all the things that are affecting the way you believe, the way that you think, the way that you show up, your emotions. Because usually what happens is something, you know, happened to us and we get so caught up in work, we get caught up in life, and we just sweep it under the rug. And then somebody says something, we listen to a song, somebody, you know, starts an argument, our spouse, our kids say something, and we get triggered. And all of a sudden we lose our minds and we're like, man, that was out of character. That wasn't like me. I don't know where that came from. Well, I'll tell you where it came from. And this is speaking from experience. This comes from our inability or our lack of unpacking the past and going back and understanding like, hey, these specific moments in my life have an impact in my future. And so what I would say is you go back to, you know, those past and write down all the things that really were good moments, bad moments, sad moments, glad moments, and write them down and start really unpacking them. What did it mean? What did it make you feel? Go back there, you know, maybe close your eyes and visualize that moment in time and what was going through your head, what was going through your mind, what were you thinking, and how might it or how may it be affecting how you operate today? You see, when you do this, you give yourself space to approach it from your higher self, your future self. And hopefully, if you're listening to this, you've grown a lot more than when you were like 10, 12, 15 years old. Some of you, maybe not, but for the most part, you should be at a better place. And if you're not, then this is even more powerful. Okay. So you go back to those times and you write down these specific moments. And when you do that, you start looking at it from a different perspective and you say, okay, this is what's causing me to not trust people in relationships. This is what's causing me to lack confidence in my ability to speak in front of people or to lead other people. This is what's causing me to feel unqualified. This is what's making me or allowing me to play small in life because I don't feel worthy of, you know, success. And whatever those moments are, now you go and unpack and say, well, why does it make me feel like this? And then you want to ask yourself, well, what is it? What do I believe about this, this event? Because remember, our belief drives our behavior, and how we act is determined by what we truly believe. And if you're playing small in life, if you lack courage, you lack confidence, you lack the ability to visualize what you could be and what you could do, you don't take chances, then chances are you believe that you're not good enough. You believe something in the past has made you believe that you're not worthy, that you're not good enough, right? And so look at your relationships with your spouse, right? Your relationship with your wife or your husband, and maybe there's a lack of intimacy. Maybe there's a lack of connection. And I guarantee you go back in time and you look at a relationship that's caused you to feel that way. Maybe you went through a divorce. Maybe you had an ex in high school that broke up with you and made you feel like you're ugly or stupid or dumb. And now you've carried that into your adult life and it's affecting your marriage with the one that's raising your kids. I've been there. And I'll tell you that if you don't take time to become aware of it, it will jack you up. It will screw up your trajectory of your life. So these traumas, you know, depending on how big or what it was that happened, I would do this timeline exercise and really get clear with it. And then find somebody that you can confide in, right? A coach, a friend, a family member, a sister, a brother, and share it with them. Maybe they were there when it happened, but write this stuff down and then share it with somebody. Get it off your chest. Get it out there, right? And when you do this, it's like therapy for yourself. You're like thinking, like, man, okay, I see this now from a different perspective. I see that incident not as it's me. It's not my being. It was just something that I did. It's my behavior. You have to separate the being from the behavior, because most of the times we do things from lack of awareness, lack of knowledge, lack of understanding. And now that we know, it's a lot different. Like, I would never do those stupid things that I did in the past, knowing what I know now. But back then, I was unaware. It was ignorance. Now, if you do it again, it's called stupidity. And so I would say that would be one thing that I would do. The other thing is that, you know, if it is a relationship with, you know, a parent or someone that's hurt you, I would say, going back to the first question, is practice forgiveness. Truly forgive in your heart. It's the most powerful thing that you can do. it releases you from that prison that you have created for yourself. And then also, as always, if you need help, then go seek mental health to get a therapist. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And so thank you for submitting your questions, guys. Again, if you want to ask questions on the show and you want me to answer it, go to send your questions into anthony@anthonywaitspeaks.com. That email will send it to me and my team, and we can answer your questions. We'll get them on the show. And if you're watching on YouTube, down below in the comments, you can put your question down below as well. Thank you so much for watching today. Also, I created a 5 pillars of leadership. This is 19 years of experience. This is kind of a framework that I use for my own self, even today, that I want to give to you. It's a PDF that will allow you to get clear, confident, competent, and congruent as a leader so that you can increase your influence and impact today, no matter where you are, what level you're playing at. This is a culmination of 19 years in the military, both enlisted and officer. People always ask, how did you, you know, work with the president? How did you go from being homeless to being a naval officer and traveling the world and now leading, you know, thousands of people? Well, these are the pillars that I follow even today. This is the framework that I use to be able to get my mind right so that I can get my grind right, right? Because it's a grind. Leadership is a grind. It's busy. But if you're going to be effective, if you're going to be efficient, if you're going to have influence and impact, you have to have a framework in which you use. And this is one that I use. And so I want to share it with you. If you look down below in the show notes or on YouTube in the comments, there's a link to it. It's called The 5 Pillars of Leadership. Master your mind, master your life. Okay. So if you take these and you go through them, it will help you get clear. And if you download it, I will have your email. I'm creating a course in the next couple of weeks on these exact things, where I'm going to have a video course where you can put it into practice. I can deep dive into it. I can help you map out your five pillars so that you can have a solid foundation for your leadership. Thank you again for joining, guys. I'll see you next time.